Good evening. Welcome to The Blues. I'm Lee Hay. Tonight, we'll hear songs from the 1920s era, including Bessie Smith, Mississippi John Hurt, and Jelly Roll Morton. You'll also hear music from the double album Set, Play It Like You Did Back to George Street, an anthology of Cincinnati Blues 1924 to 1936. Plus an interview with record collector dealer John Tefteller. He's the fellow who made waves in the records collectible market when he purchased a rare 1930 Tommy Johnson Blues 78 RPM record in September of 2013 on eBay for over $37,000. He'll talk about his collection and more on The Blues.
Underworld, woman to satisfy my soul. it no more. And it's all, I ain't gonna do it no more. The last time I was at your house, I made my backbone slow. And I'm going to the river, take my boat and slow. And I'm going to the river, take my boat and slow. And if my underwear mama fits me, I'm all gonna cut my toe. And it's all, I ain't gonna do it no more. And it's all, I ain't gonna do it no more. The last time I drank your whiskey, mama made my bed and so.
Good girl, catch you here. Don't you let my good girl catch you here. She might shoot you, may cut and stab you too. Ain't no telling what she might do. I'm up the country where the cold sleeping snow. The country by the cold sleeting snow. Ain't no telling how much further I may go. Yeah, my dinner in Tennessee. I told you I was coming, baby, won't you look for me? Hey, hey, set the soup in the glass. The way I'm sleeping, my back and shoulders tight. The way I'm sleeping, babe, my back and shoulders tight. The way I'm sleeping, my back and shoulders tight. Gonna turn over and try it on this side. She might shoot you, may cut and stab you too. Ain't no telling what she might do.
Jelly Roll Morton, Turtle Twist, 1929. We also heard Ain't No Tellin', Mississippi John Hurt, recorded in New York City in December 1928. From Bob Coleman and the Cincinnati Jug Band, Cincinnati Underworld Woman, 1929. And at the beginning of the show, Bessie Smith's Muddy Water, 1927. Coming up next, a phone interview with blues expert John Tefteller, who bought the record-setting copy of Tommy Johnson's 78 from 1930 and the first public sale of a Tommy Johnson Paramount 78. How long have you been collecting blues records?
I've been collecting records in general since 1972. At some point in the late 70s, I switched over from more generic rock and roll to more blues and rhythm and blues, and then by the mid to late 90s, I was solidly just collecting blues. I still buy other things. I still sell records. I have a whole record business that I do, but my personal collection is strictly blues, mostly 20s and 30s, but I run up into the early 60s with the blues stuff, and it sort of went manic in the late 90s.
And what kind of labels were the most obscure that you looked for back in the day?
I always looked for things that were good records. It didn't matter to me whether they were on obscure labels or whether they were on major labels. And when you get to the 20s and 30s blues stuff, the Paramount stuff is the most unusual and some of the best ever. But there are also great records on Columbia and Victor and some of the more major labels from that time period. When you get into the 1950s material, it's mostly the smaller independent labels that had the better records.
What about condition? That plays a big part in what you collect.
Well, it does. When I'm looking for things for resale for my record business, I try to keep everything that I buy in the near mint category. However, when I'm looking for things for my personal collection, for my business where we reissue rare blues records from the 20s and 30s on CD. In those cases, I look for the best copies I can find, but in a lot of cases, the best copies anybody can find are hammered, worn-out copies, and you just have to live with those because that's all that exists.
How do you store the records in your collection?
My own personal stuff is stored on shelves. Since I live in an area which is somewhat slightly prone to earthquake, I have the shelves basically bolted to the wall, bolted to the ceiling, bolted to the floors, and then I have a metal bar which goes across the middle of the records on each shelf so that nothing can come out, and the only way anything could get destroyed is if literally the entire house crumbled. And I have all of this in a climate-controlled facility.
Do you put them on their sides, not stacked on top of each other?
Yes. No, they're upright. Upright on the sides, yes. And I have, as best I can, all original sleeves on them and then acid-free material surrounding them to keep them preserved for as long as possible.
And you mentioned the original sleeves. How much does that enhance the resale value of these pieces?
That's a real difficult question to answer because I love original sleeves and I love the fact that the records are in original sleeves. But I haven't found that the majority of record buyers out there are on the same page as me with that. When I sell records to other people, 99% of them are in the original sleeves. Every once in a while, something comes up that I don't have an original sleeve for. But if I have an original sleeve for a record, it goes in that original sleeve and it stays there. But I haven't really noticed a tremendous amount of people who will pay extra money to have original records in original sleeves. There's a few, but it's not a big amount of money that they pay. That's the way I send the stuff out when I sell things. I think it looks great. I think it adds a whole lot to it. But I know a lot of record collectors, especially with 78s, don't keep them in those old brittle paper sleeves. They keep them in more modern, thicker green sleeves or special archival sleeves or whatever, and that's fine. I just don't do my own things that way. I do my own things. I have to actually go out and hunt down original race record sleeves from the 20s and 30s to go on the race records that I have, the blues records that I have, and I make sure I match them up to the sleeve that it would have been in when you would have bought it new, but I have to find them in nice shape, because if they're all tattered and falling apart, you can't put an expensive blues record in there. It's not a good idea. You could have an accident and break something. So the sleeves I buy, when I buy them in really nice shape, and I match them up to records that are in really nice shape as best I can.
What are some of the more rare pieces, whether 78s or albums or singles, by decade that you have in your collection?
First of all, I don't have a lot of LPs. Let's start with that. Most of the blues LPs that came out in the 50s and early 60s were simply compilations of 78s put out on LP format. So I don't really collect those. There were some things done for Prestige Bluesville where they were modern-day recordings in the late 50s and early 60s of older artists or contemporary artists where they were recorded just for those LPs, and I do save those. But as a rule, for my own personal stuff, I don't have a lot of LPs. Most of what I have in my personal collection is 78s from the 20s and 30s, and then 78s from the 50s, and some 45s from the 50s and early 60s. But it's going to be strictly blues. Some of the rarer things are some one-of-a-kind Paramounts from the late 20s, early 30s. I have the only known copy of a number of records that are very significant records from that time period, mostly on Paramount, but I have some super rarities on some other labels as well. In the 50s, I have pretty much all of the super rare post-war blues 78s and most of the important post-war blues 45s. There's a few things I'm missing. There's always, nobody ever has everything. And there's a few things I'm missing in that 1950s time period, but very few things am I missing from that period. Most of that period is complete, and I'm working on the 20s and 30s, but that's a lot harder, and I don't think I'll ever be able to have that complete. No one does, and I don't think no one will ever be able to.
Name some of the musicians who are the hardest to find.
From what time period?
Some of the 78s that you're still looking for.
The 78s from the 50s or 20s and 30s?
Both, if possible.
Well, 20s and 30s is where I'm more concentrating on, and there are records by Willie Brown, Skip James, Son House, Charlie Patton, all those Delta blues legends. There's always a record or two by those people that I either don't have, or if I do, it's so battered that it really needs to be replaced with a better copy. In some cases, I will be replacing them as they come up for sale, but it doesn't always happen. And so I won't necessarily ever be able to replace some of them. When you get into the 50s stuff, I'm missing a record by a guy named One String Sam on the JVB label from Detroit, which is a really great post-war blues record. It's just that every copy that I've ever seen has been either destroyed or cracked, and so I haven't been able to buy a decent one of those. I mean, there's examples all down the line, but not so many of them from the 50s. Mostly it's 20s and 30s stuff.
Being in Cincinnati, of course, we have King Records here. Do you have records from King Records that were recorded here?
Yes. I don't have a lot because King is a 50s label, and while they did a lot of rhythm and blues, they didn't do a lot of straight down-home blues stuff. The ones that they did, I do have. I don't think I'm missing anything on King, Federal, or Deluxe. Those are all three were labels owned by the same company in Cincinnati. And I don't think that there's anything I'm missing of straight blues on those labels. I don't necessarily save the R&B or the group records, although I get them and deal off those. And there's some of those I haven't had, but most of the straight blues stuff, I'm 99% sure I have all of those.
In September, you made a big splash when you found a rare Tommy Johnson 1930 Blues 78. Can you talk about that?
I didn't exactly just find it. It was on eBay. Anybody in the country or anybody in the world could have seen it up there for sale, and a whole lot of people did. I guess the accomplishment on my end was actually being able to afford to buy it and writing the check for it once the auction was over. It sold for $37,100, which is an all-time record price for any 78 RPM record anywhere, and one of the top prices for any record. There have been a few LPs and 45s that have done more than $37,000 in one single sale, but this is the first 78 that has done that. And the reason it did it is because there was only one other accessible, verified, known copy, which I also have, but the copy that I had originally on that title was really kind of beat up and didn't play well, and all of the reissues that are out there of that particular title, Alcohol and Jake Blues and Riding Horses, the other side of it, all the reissues of it that are out there were all made from that original battered 78, and while they sound okay, there's certainly vast room for improvement. So when I saw this one come up for sale and it looked to be in spectacular condition, I knew it was something that I was going to make every effort to acquire, and I did. I won the auction in the last few seconds, and I have the record. It is in spectacular condition. It sounds spectacular, and I will be making it available to the rest of the world as part of my blues calendar series. We had already finished the one for 2014 by the time this record came up for sale, so it will be on the blues calendars that we put out for 2015, which will start being sold in late summer of this coming year, 2014.
And we'll put a link on our website to the blues calendars in case our listeners want to take a look at them.
And what you can do there, in addition to seeing blues calendars and posters and T-shirts and CDs that I offer for sale, one of the big things I do with that website is we have what's called a museum section on there, and I have photographs of about 90% of my pre-war blues record collection on there. And you can actually go on there and you can see record labels of all these super rare blues records from the 20s and 30s. And I do this for a couple of reasons. One, there's always people asking me for label shots of things for books and magazine articles, so there's a place that they can go to get them, and we do license those out. We don't charge much for them, but we charge a little bit to cover the time to do all this on the internet. But we also have all that stuff up there because it helps when people are going onto the internet wondering if they have something of value, and they type in a name or they type in a song title, and it brings them right to my website, and it brings them right into that museum section, and it shows them whether I have a copy. And if I do, you can tell what condition it's in. And it's actually brought a number of great records for me to be able to buy from people looking up something on the internet, getting directed to that website, and then seeing that I either didn't have it or I had it, but it was not in good condition, and then offering to sell it to me. So it serves all kinds of purposes. But it's a great educational tool for people if they want to just see what those records looked like back then. There's over 3,000 of them up on that site.
Well, I'm wondering, guessing here, that since you paid a record price for this record, have people been coming out of the woodwork offering you different records?
A little bit, but not as much as I thought might have happened. It's a slow process. For one thing, there's not a lot of people out there that actually have these super rare records. And if they do, they're usually people I already know. They already know me, and they're either not wanting to sell them or they'll sell them to me at some point in the future or whatever. But to find fresh material, just like wandering into an estate sale or a flea market or a thrift store and finding something really great like this, it doesn't happen very often. And so I know that because of the publicity from the sale, if somebody were to come up with something really special, most likely they would probably try to find a way to contact me and see if I had it, and if I didn't have it, was I interested in buying it, or if I had it, was I interested in buying a better copy. And there's been a few things like that come up since the sale of that Tommy Johnson record, but most of what's been offered to me since that sale were things I already had and were not things that were particularly that rare. Rare stuff is rare for a reason. It means you rarely see it. There are plenty of records out there that you see all the time, even things that some people consider rare. If you really pay attention to what goes on in the marketplace for records, you'll find that they're really not as rare as you may think if you really watch it. But then there are other things, like this Tommy Johnson record, that are genuine rare records. Let's say if you see them once in your lifetime, you're doing good. And a lot of records you never see within your lifetime because the one or two copies that do exist are in somebody's collection and they're not interested in selling them and you don't ever see them posted anywhere.
That was blues expert John Tafteller. You'll find a link to his website and collectibles at WVXU.org. You're listening to music from the 1920s on the blues.
I'm so unhappy, I feel so cold. My That's why all the little chickens cross the street cause our old daddy's got a brand new way to love. Now he makes more love than anybody in town. He even kept the London Bridge from falling down. Yes, my old daddy's got a brand new way to love.
See how I'm the only one in my family to take a biscuit to pieces, put it back just like it was. Oh, with my moaning all day long. Yes, I can kick my leg high, and you ought to see me do the buzz.
The last three songs were all recorded in 1929. We just heard Ida Mae Mack, When You Lose Your Daddy, Moan in the Blues by Victoria Spivey, Bessie Tucker's Better Boot That Thing, The Great Alberta Hunter in 1927 with My Daddy's Got a Brand New Way to Love, and at the top, the classic C.C. Rider, that by Ma Rainey in 1924. Coming up in the next set, songs from a blues anthology released by Shake It Records with songs recorded from 1924 to 1936, Cincinnati. Let's begin with Kid Cole and Sixth Street Moan.
Mama, daddy's knee. And it's run here, mama, and on your daddy's knee. Cause I'm sure gonna tell you how you treated me. Last night, mama, baby, and the night before. Oh, gonna, don't you hear me talking to? You were drunk last night, pretty mama, and the night before. You're going to be sharp, kid man, I'm rapping on your door. The watchman, mama, the brakeman too. And it wasn't for the watchman, mama, the brakeman too. I would grab me a bit of braid, ramming his whole world through. Mama, baby, crying, it won't be long. Oh, gonna, don't you wanna go long? And I'm gonna wear brown skin, and it won't be long. And that's why you're gonna make your kid call, baby, baby, when I'm gone. Now I'm going to Cincinnati, I'm going to spread the news. The fan foot in Chicago sure don't wear no shoes, because I'm going to Cincinnati, the times is good. I'm going to Cincinnati where they eat fried food, and I'm going to Cincinnati, boys, where Rush the Bottle is good. Now when you come to Cincinnati, don't get too full. You're liable to meet the cop that it calls Doggler Bull, because I'm going to Cincinnati, the times is good. I'm going to Cincinnati where they eat fried food, and I'm going to Cincinnati where Rush the Bottle is good. Now when you come to Cincinnati, stop on 6th and Main. That's where the good hustling women get the good cocaine, because I'm going to Cincinnati, the times is good. I'm going to Cincinnati where they eat fried food, and I'm going to Cincinnati, boys, where Rush the Bottle is good. Ah, pick that thing. Come to Cincinnati, stop a Hoghead Joe, where you get your turnip greens and your good hog Joe, because I'm going to Cincinnati, the times is good. I'm going to Cincinnati where they eat fried food, and I'm going to Cincinnati, boys, where Rush the Bottle is good. Now I'm going uptown, buy my baby soap and towel, to wash under arm, to keep a right order down, because I'm going to Cincinnati, the times is good. I'm going to Cincinnati where they eat fried food, and I'm going to Cincinnati, boys, where Rush the Bottle is good. Now the meanest man that I ever saw, a dirty Cincinnati called Judy Lashaw, because I'm going to Cincinnati, the times is good. I'm going to Cincinnati where they eat fried food, and I'm going to Cincinnati, boys, where Rush the Bottle is good. I got a bone in my throat, I can't hardly swallow. There's a place in Cincinnati called Lachlan the Holler, because I'm going to Cincinnati, the times is good. I'm going to Cincinnati where they eat fried food, and I'm going to Cincinnati, boys, where Rush the Bottle is good.
Sit down, mama, you know just how I feel. And if you ever sit down, little mama, you know just how I feel. And if you ever sit down, little mama, I swear you know how a prisoner feel. I ain't got nobody on outside to play in the field. And I laid in prison for breaking through the wall. And I laid in prison, my face unto the wall. And I laid in prison with my face unto the wall. There's a no good approaching woman for the cause of it all. And it's a many old day I drop my weary head and cry. And it's a many old day I drop my weary head and cry. And it's a many old day I drop my weary head and cry. I did not have no blue, mama just wasn't satisfied. It's full on your racehorse, sit on your derby too. It's full on your racehorse, sit on your derby too. It's full on your racehorse, mommy, sit on your derby too. I ain't got nobody this wild world to love me too. And I love in the death still and drop my weary head and cry. And I love in the death still and drop my weary head and cry. And I love in the death still and I dropped my worry head and cried. I told her, things, pretty boy, this ain't like being on the outside. And if it had been for you, little mama would not been here. And if it had been for you, little mama would not been here. And if it had been for you, a little mama would not been here. I drinking wine, whiskey, mama, and your home to dear. I'm gonna town down.
She would holler police, cook them biscuits nice and brown. Think she's a working when she turned around. Catch another mule chicken in my store. Gonna tear it down.
I'm gonna tear down.
My girl, we pull ass at the gate, she's turning these motors too fast. I went to the river, take my rock and chair. The blues over, take my rock away from here. Catch another mule chicken in my store. I'm gonna tear it down.
Two songs from Bob Coleman, both recorded in 1929. The one we just heard, Tear It Down, was recorded in Chicago. The other, Sing Song Blues, recorded in Richmond, Indiana, 1929. We also heard from Walter Coleman, I'm Going to Cincinnati, Cincinnati Jug Band doing Newport Blues, and King Cole's Sixth Street Moan. All of those recorded in the 1920s, except for Walter Coleman's I'm Going to Cincinnati. That was recorded in 1936. They're part of Shake It Records' Music from Ohio series. You'll find a playlist for tonight's show at WBXU.org. You've been listening to The Blues on 91.7 WBXU Cincinnati and 88.5 WMUB Oxford. I'm Lee Hay. Stay tuned for the BBC World Service.